ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Alex Albert.
What are you clapping on?
Scott Pilgrim's Finest Hour, Volume 6, that came out today.
Don't pick up that book.
What?
Do not pick up that book.
Wait, hold on. Why?
What? Because it directly conflicts with the movie.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Pete has seen the Scott Pilgrim movie, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
It's amazing. It is a phenomenal movie. But if you love the movie, then you see read the book, you're not going to like the book as much.
So you would like the movie better if you saw the movie first.
Right.
So you should read the book first.
No, because then you won't like the movie.
Right, exactly. But you like the book better.
What?
Yes.
I don't get it.
So don't pick up the book, watch the movie.
How about this? How about you read the book at the same time as you're watching the movie?
No, because your mind will explode.
Okay, and you can like tweet with this hand and be like, oh, watching some crappy movie, reading the main book. I'm leaving. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Anyway, I loved it. We're not going to do any spoilers about it because we'll talk about it next week when Justin, our other co-host...
Oh, who is that guy again?
I don't remember.
All right.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guests we have tonight, so let's welcome out, ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Marquez! Yeah! How do we know you?
I am the original booth man.
Oh!
The original.
Oh, he's out!
I am the first booth man, mister.
Woo! No, this is the origin stories colliding. He lives in the booth, that's why it looks like that.
You're more Earth Prime booth man or Golden Age?
Oh, Golden Age. Golden Age.
No, so that's okay. He's Golden Age booth man and you're Modern Age booth man, so you're like cool.
Oh, I'm gritty.
Yeah!
Yeah, whatever!
I shoot people!
Yeah, that's on his costume. Yeah. That's how you can tell the modern age.
Yeah. That's the thing about modern age booth man. Modern age superheroes, they just can't keep their glasses on.
They're too gritty.
Yes.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Now you are a student at the Kubert School.
Before you, I would just like to say you're welcome for launching your career. did not mean that at all. But it's fantastic that you started out a fan of comics.
Yeah.
And then got a job, and you're now going through school and like living the dream, man. That's
amazing. I'm loving it. It's awesome. Pretty much more or less. Yeah,
so at the Kubert School, right? Mm-hmm. They teach you how to jump from box to box.
Right.
No, but seriously though, what as a student at the Kubert School, what do you do there? What are you learning about? What are you studying?
Oh my God, you learn everything about artwork. It's just as far as you have to learn like narrative, you have to learn anatomy, you have to learn storytelling, you have to learn methods, materials.
That sounds like work.
It's a lot of work. You're working about 10 hours a day after you get home on our work. So I don't go to bed until like 2 in the morning every single day and wake up, start drawing again to try to get it finished, and then go off there.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, we do the same thing with this show.
Yeah.
Just so the other thing is you're working for Joe, right?
Yeah.
What?
Yes, I do. I work, he has a production company. It's called Telegraphics, and I work for him down there.
And what do you do for Telegraphics?
I work for his magazine. He has a magazine that he does through the Army called PS Magazine. I'm a little nervous because I can't really see anybody. I just kind of see some faces.
Good. They hate you.
Yeah, they don't like you very much. They,
they like the real booth man.
Yeah.
Which would be me.
No. But I work for his
magazine.
Things
never change.
It's called PS Magazine. It's for the Army. Will Eisner started it back in the 40s or the 50s, and it has like a cool lineage of different artists that have worked on it, and now Joe has it, and I do a lot of illustrations in there for him.
Very cool. You were also saying that you've been working on backgrounds a little bit for... I know you can't really talk about that too much.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, tell us a little bit, because I feel like people don't necessarily know what that means when somebody says, oh, I do backgrounds for a comic. I mean, they understand it, but talk a little bit about the process.
All right. Pretty much like certain artists and whatnot, they have... Well, even like back in like the early days of comics, like Kurt Schaffenberger, for example, they used to have this place called The Barn, and they would all hang out inside of it, and there was like a whole bunch of different artists. And there was one guy that specifically did the backgrounds, there was one guy that did middle ground, you know, another guy did all the foreground stuff. And they would just kind of all sit in a circle and just pass it around. Even today, there's still artists that like what they do is they have an assistant or something like that, and what you'll do is the backgrounds. And it's kind of like a good way to learn the ropes of like how to do professional penciling, and then it's easier for you to kind of break into the industry. So a lot of artists still employ background artists to do those type of things.
So like they'll draw Batman and you'll draw Batman in space,
right?
And on vacation,
right? So
in
like
space.
Pretty much,
yeah. Laser backgrounds.
Just to clear that up, what you'll do is the main artist, he'll lay everything out on the page, okay? And then he'll give it to the background guy and be like, hey, you know, this is the type of perspective that I want. This is where I want everything to kind of be. He'll show you where the buildings are going to go. Then it's up to you to really draw everything else in. And that's it.
Do you ever get frustrated and you're like, well, they're drawing Batman in the foreground. I'm going to draw, like, a tinier Batman.
Not if you want to get paid.
So as a fan who's now working on your craft, what's your goal? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, I would love to be drawing for Marvel or DC in 5 years. Actually, I would just love to be getting paid like by any company like on a regular basis.
Yeah, so would we.
Exactly. You know?
But what was the thing that most shocked you, like coming from a person who loves comics and then like learning the process and learning how all the things fit together with the comic?
Was it at all learning how the sausage get made?
Were you like, no?
There's a lot of stuff that goes into it that, like, I don't know, it's just the amount of hours and everything that you really have to be dedicated to do it. And, I mean, a lot of the guys that are out there that draw this stuff, I mean, they are really putting in time. And, I mean, that's why there are a lot of delays and why things are so slow. I mean, because these guys really put in that much time. And that's why stuff looks really good. Stuff doesn't look too good. I don't have any excuse for them. But, I mean, you know, if you're a good artist and, you know, you're really putting in the time and developing your craft, I mean, it's amazing what you have to go through to get to that point.
Now, is there something like where if you're working on a background thing and you have to draw like a dog in the foreground like 8 times, or is it just like different?
See, like I wouldn't do anything organic. Yeah. I'm not responsible for it.
Yeah, have you ever drawn a paddle with 8 dogs in it?
That could be annoying, right? I mean, dogs. They can't sit still for very long.
How did your application to the Kubert School?
I didn't hear back from them. It's really weird. It's like I had to tie like a couple dogs together to get them.
I remember you put that stamp on them.
Yeah.
You wrote CO Kubert School.
Yeah.
And then you wrote, why won't you take me?
Yeah.
Pete.
Weird. So when you go back, let me know that I'm still waiting a response.
Still waiting. Yeah. Dogs tied up.
Yeah, I want my dream fulfilled too.
Well, cool. We are going to move on. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. Yeah. This week, Superman 701. Now, J. Michael Straczynski, who you might know from Babylon 5 and Changeling.
That's
how you know him.
Yep, he's writing comics now, you guys. Big deal. He's taken over Superman, and the big thing that he's done is Superman is now walking across America.
He's walking the Earth.
He's walking the Earth, well, across America. He's walking across America trying to reconnect with the common man.
You laugh, but he's doing it. He spent a whole day with someone who was going to jump.
Jump where?
Off a building. No, off a building.
Trampoline building?
Yeah. It was a trampoline factory.
She had had enough.
Yeah.
So,
that's a bad idea to try to jump in a trampoline factory.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I'm going to kill myself. Oh, I did. Yeah. What did you think of this issue, Pete?
Well, you know, hearing that, I was like, this is going to be ridiculous. But then reading it, I wasn't. I didn't think it was as hilarious as I wanted it to be. Like, you know, apparently there is a lot of crime happening if you walk on the sidewalks. Superman is still tackling a lot of stuff in this issue.
Yeah,
I was surprised how much stuff he could get to.
This issue took a little bit of, I think, critical drubbing online, where people were expecting it to be hilarious and then treated it as if it was hilarious. And I'll say, 90% of it was pretty hilarious. But there was that other 10%. I actually kind of liked the scene with the jumper. I thought it was small, and it was quiet, and it was well done. The biggest thing for me is the logic of how Superman is approaching this particular project, where he's like, I'm going to walk, and... okay, now I'm going to fly for a little bit. All right, but I'm walking.
Yeah, that was weird.
He's like, super speed, but I'm walking.
Because he was like, oh, she's up there and she's going to jump. I was like, oh, he's going to have to take the stairs of the elevator. Like anybody else. She's like, I'm going to break my vow of flying and go help this person.
The other little plot point, which I understand is another real world plot point that J. Michael Straczynski needs to deal with, is at the beginning of the issue, there's a bunch of reporters that are following around Superman saying, how long are you going to do this? What is this for? You're promoting something. What's going on? And Superman...
promoting his new book.
Yeah, his new book. Walking with Superman. And what Superman says to Lois, who Lois is like, are you really going to do this? And Superman says, yes, I'm really going to do this. But don't worry. The reporters, when they find out there's really no story, are going to leave. And they have the scene of the reporters... standing outside the diner where Superman is, being like, oh man, what's going on? He's just eating in a diner. There's no story here. There's a story there. There's a guy who can fly and shoot fire from his eyes eating in a diner, and then he uses his super speed to clean it up. And they're like, I got nothing.
No, he doesn't have any money. He's like, I'm a little short. And they're like, Superman, don't worry about it. He's like, no, I gotta earn my keep. He like cleans the back.
Right, and the reporters are like, nah, yeah.
No story.
No story. Yeah. Don't know what to do. Yeah. We're terrible reporters.
I mean, he was spilling coffees. I was a little crazy.
he put on one of those waitress uniforms. It was adorable.
Yeah.
What did you think of this, Anthony?
I'm not going to like judge it too soon. I mean, there's an entire year of Superman walking.
Oh, boy.
I'm really looking forward to it.
What's going to happen is he's going to, like, step
trip.
Out now.
Horrible blisters on the bottom of his feet that can only cure the
And there'll be, like, entire two issues where he's like, blister.
There was the last kind of couple of panels there where there's like a heckler who's like, hey, what are you doing, Superman? Why are you walking? You know? And he's like, Superman tries to turn on him and being all deep, like, what are you doing with your life, buddy?
Oh, 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 he's like, oh, Superman! Oh, shit! Oh, man! Superman!
I was like, if it's going to be a whole year of this, I'm on board.
Alright, there you go.
Superman's like, hey, I'll come down to your job and bust your balls, huh?
I like that in that scenario, his job is to walk across America. That's what he's getting paid for. All right, let's move on to talk about another big issue that came out this week. Amazing Spider-Man 637, which is the end of the Grim Hunt storyline. This is Amazing Spider-Man versus, spoiler, a resurrected Kraven the Hunter and his entire family. Pete, you've been not on board the Spider-Man comics for no good reason for the past several years.
Reason, sure.
Let's get past all of that. And what did you think about this issue?
Well, I was excited for two pages when he when he put back on the black costume, I was like, oh yeah. And then it was great. I love Spider-Man meme. It's fun. But then, of course, he remembers the old great power of responsibility deal, and he's back to being regular, fun Spider-Man. No, I thought this was a good issue. It was a lot of bang for your buck. There's a lot of pages, a lot of art. The only back and forth that kind of bothered me was the whole, like, you know, what's Kraven really like, and now that he's resurrected, he's different. Yeah, he died, guys. You know, that's a slack. You know, if you die, you come back, you know, you're going to be different.
Yeah, it's like that time you died and came back.
Yeah.
You used to be so nice.
I was nice for like a week, and then I realized nobody liked the new me.
I did. Well, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I also like this issue. I agree. It's a big bang for your buck. There's a lot of story here, a lot going on. And I think the Spidey office in general has been doing a really good job with these stories. This, I was a little worried. I'm not a big fan of resurrected characters, of characters coming back. But I think it was well treated, and I think it ended up in a nice place.
Yeah. Right. I know, yeah, it's definitely a fun ride.
Now, would you be interested in reading a story where Spider-Man walks across America?
If Superman and... Well, they can't do that, but it'd be great if, like, in Marvel, Spider-Man was walking, and then DC, Superman was walking.
And they connect met in the middle.
Oh, man.
And then they'd be halfway, and they kiss.
You'd be like, suck on that, middle America.
Two dudes be making up.
That's what it'll be called. It'll be gigantic event called Phil Biggie. All right, now let's go on and talk about Lock and Key, Crown of Shadows, number 6. We've always been a big fan, big fans. We're not collectively one fan. Big fans of this series. For those of you who haven't read it, please do. It's the scariest, most creative, funniest, most well-done comic, I think, on the stands.
And that's underselling it. Yeah.
But how do you think this tied up? This is the third miniseries to come from Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez.
Well, I mean, there's so many... What's great about this series in general is there's so many great characters. There's a lot of really unique, fun characters. And then there's some dark areas. And they do a really good job of kind of like giving the spotlight every once in a while on different characters. And this one's the mom. And she's got a little bit of a drinking problem. And... it's just such, like, the writing does such a really good job of, like, earning moments in this comic. There are, like, serious panels of tension, of laughter, of, you know, like, here's a woman who drinks a lot, and then she finds this cabinet where she opens it and puts stuff up and then closes it, and then it's not broken anymore, right? So what's the drunk gonna do? She just starts juggling plates, like, I'm drunk as hell, and these plates will come back and fix themselves up. I can just keep drinking. And you're like, what the? But, yeah, it's really crazy. But then, you know, it comes back and, you know, the ship writes itself again. But, man.
This issue really writes itself.
How far in is this series? I've never read it.
This is, I think this is the 18th issue, I guess, because there was a 6-issue original miniseries. Second miniseries and this third miniseries. This title is great, and this comic is great, incredibly well done. Gabriel Rodriguez's art, in particular, is gorgeous across the board, and I think the panel layouts are amazing. Really stuff that I've never really seen before in any other comic. My only concern about this is that it doesn't... this miniseries in particular didn't really feel like one cohesive story, necessarily. And part of that is that the past couple of miniseries are more part of a 24-issue arc, but I wish they were selling it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. All right. nice sad note to end on. All right, let's move on and talk about Batman, number 701. For those of you who... here we go. Okay,
yeah.
So
good luck with this one.
Basically, for those of you who don't know, Batman died.
What?
I know. Well, Batman died at the end of an arc called Batman R.I.P., which was really about...
Wait. He didn't really die at the end of that.
Well, that's the thing. He also died in a comic called Final Crisis.
Right.
And this is filling in the holes between the first time he died and the second time he died to show how he died both times.
Did he die both times?
Yeah, comics.
Yep, it's comics, people. It's comics.
So what did you think about this, Pete?
Well, first off, the art's amazing. Art is really great. It's
Tony Daniel, I think.
He inks himself in this, too.
Oh, wow. Fun fact.
Yeah, I totally inked myself when I read it.
Well, hello. Hello.
I'm doing some art of myself. Yeah. It's not really a big deal.
It's almost like,
yeah. Yeah. That's an ink kid. I'm an octopus.
Okay. Yeah, this is...
What, if you're an octopus, you wouldn't like it?
Well, I just liked how you were like octopus disappeared.
Not good, but with multiple arms.
Yeah. Great. I'm glad we stopped for that. Well, this is weird because you're reading it and you're like, when is this taking place? Because if you're reading comics right now... which hopefully you are, you know, Batman's dead, and then he's also traveling through time where he was just, he just finished up being Cowboy Batman before that he was Pilgrim.
Pirate Batman.
Oh, Pirate Batman.
Yeah, he's not Cowboy Batman yet.
Sorry. And then he was Pilgrim Batman, and then he was Cave Batman.
That's going backwards. It's not dead, it's previously.
Okay. So first he was Cave Batman, and then Pilgrim Batman, and then Pirate Batman.
Yes. And soon he's going to be Cowboy Batman.
Right. So then you're wondering when this is taking place, but it's a walk way before that.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing in that aspect, but it's nice to see Grant Morrison being like, okay, I'm going to go back and fill some stuff in for you.
Yeah. Have you been reading?
Little cool fact about the whole different Batmans that are going on. Andy Kubert designed the way that they were all going to look.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was talking with Grant Morrison on the phone or however he talks with them, he actually designed a Victorian Batman, which looked really cool. Like, I've seen like all the little sketches for him, and he'd bring him in and like show everybody, and it had like a cool top hat, and then like had like little bat ears kind of like went off, but it looked really good. Like, you know, forgive me for just, you know, but it's awesome, a top hat with bat ears on it, and
you could sell millions.
Millions would be sold, and then he had this cool like thing that like would wrap down and like made the little scalloped cape underneath it. I don't know. I was geeking out. I'm sorry. I thought it was
so. Awesome. But the point of what you were saying was that it was all designed.
There was another version of Batman that was going to be in this. Like, he thought that that's what it was supposed to be, but then it just wound up being like a 1930s, I think, or 1940s detective Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the original drawing for it was of a Victorian Batman.
Right.
And then Grant was like, oh, no.
Oh,
I want
Grant
to be 1940s. Do it.
Yeah, and then Andy was like, how are you talking to my mom?
Yeah, this is a good comic book. I agree. It's a little weird. It feels like, I don't know, did we necessarily need this villain?
Probably to actually understand the story. But did we need it 3 years later?
Exactly.
The question. Or
plus,
40
it's
years
like,
later or whatever it's been.
Having Grant Morrison kind of try to explain to you why he's Grant Morrison is a little weird. You know what I mean? Like, I know I'm crazy, but I'm gonna fill it in 3 years later on my set. Like, no, Grant Morrison, you've been doing this for a while. I don't know if this is the time you're gonna spell it all out for.
Yeah. Do your thing, Grant Morrison.
Yeah, you just be Grant Morrison. Don't worry about trying to go back and fill in stuff.
Yeah. He's probably hearing this in his mind.
He's like, I don't like this podcast.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. Grant Morrison. Sweet new flu. Let's move on. Talk about X-Men, Second Coming, Chapter 2, which is actually the last chapter of X-Men, Second Coming.
There's only two chapters, huh?
Nope, but there were actually 12 in the middle. This is Chapter 2, but it's actually Chapter 14.
Comics.
What did you think about this, wrapping up essentially years and years and years of X-Men storylines?
Yeah, I mean, it was... the last book ended very abruptly, where it was just like Nathan dies, and it's just kind of literally just, oh, spoiler.
There you go.
Yeah, smooth.
Yeah.
Real smooth.
Nathan's hot dogs.
Dead. Yeah.
What?
Oh, no! That's even worse.
That's worse.
Yeah.
Way to go, Alex.
So this guy named Nathan, who no one really knows or cares about.
Oh, he's my best friend.
Damn it.
So somebody dies, and that's kind of how the comic ends. You're like, oh my god, how are people going to deal with it? And that, what was nice about this one, Chapter 2 picks right up where Chapter 13 left off. You get the reaction that you wanted in the last book, which is nice.
Yeah.
But just the way it ended, you're like, oh god, I hope they don't do this like months later when everyone's grieved. You know, but you got to see the...
I do think this tied it up really nicely. This, to me, feels the most like a big event book, particularly because it's the four writers of the four X-Men titles, each writing a chapter, and each essentially teasing, here's what's going to be coming up in my particular title, and setting things up like that. I'm never a huge fan of that in a book where, like, for example, we've had this book, X-Force... that's about the proactive X-Men who totally go out and kill everybody.
Which is sweet.
Yeah, sure. And they get shut down, and Wolverine says, you know what, forget about it, I'm going to have my own team.
About time.
Yeah, my own team here. I'll see if I can flip to it really quickly.
Was it him and his claws?
It's him and six claws. He's like, let's team up, you guys. So he says, this is X-Force I'm going to. This is X-Force. There's only one rule. No one can know. And they all look. And then somebody in the background is like, what are you guys looking at? Were you standing like this?
The old classic, only one rule.
Yeah. The only rule is, there are no rules.
Yeah.
We're all going to get laid.
Really?
Yeah. That being said, I do think it's a good read, and obviously if you've read the previous 1/13 chapters, yeah, you probably want to read
it. I mean, that's the only thing. I really love the Second Coming arc. I thought it was a big event comic, done really well. The only thing for me that was a little tough, it was a little all over the place as far as, like, which titles had which chapters and which was going on. It was tough to keep track of a little bit, I would say.
Yeah, with the chapter markings?
Well, no, I just meant, like, which book was going to be the next.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Because, like, each writer had its own story. You're like, oh, I kind of like this story. And then it was like, read this, and then maybe this one, and then
over. It's totally easy to remember, though. Because you know, there's chapter 1, and then there's chapter 2 through 13, and then there's chapter 2.
Yeah, duh.
So come on.
Okay.
All right, we're going to move on then. We're going to talk about The Unwritten number 15, which is another one of our favorite series here. This is What If Harry Potter was a Real Kid, Grew Up, and Was Part of a Story-Based Conspiracy That Might Destroy the World. I guess that's
pretty good. Right, nice job, yeah.
Thank you very much. What do you think about this title? You were talking about it a little bit backstage.
I think they say it perfectly in there, like, fuck Harry Potter. You know what I mean? Like, that guy's a douchebag. You should get eaten by a vampire.
Oh, you're talking about the plot of the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't that what we're talking about?
Sure. Just I thought you thought we were talking about in general, just like, fuck Harry Potter.
Oh, come on. I mean, who says general statements like that?
Whoa. Is the implication that I do?
Yes.
It's fair. I think in general I don't say stuff like
that. Hey-o.
This is a great book. No.
Did they actually call
it? It's a good time to pick it up.
No, it's called Tommy Taylor.
That's the truth. But it's all just like they kind of make a point of making it very close to Harry.
Yeah, he's Tommy Taylor. Instead of Voldemort, there's a vampire that kind of looks like him, and there's a girl with glasses that hangs out with him, and he has a red-haired friend.
He's got the wand. And
yeah,
he's got
the wand. Bizarre.
He doesn't quite know what he's doing yet. He's figuring out as he goes.
He's playing Quidditch.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I haven't been reading this at all.
Yeah. It's good. It does feel a little bit... I love Mike Carey's writing in general. It does feel a little bit like, hey, I can write a book where there's swear words in it. So every other page, people are like, oh, fuck you. Let's go to the store. And that's pretty much it. But you like this, right?
Yeah, it's fun. What's nice about it is it's different. You know, it's a little off the beaten path, which is cool. And unfortunately, not all the issues are as solid as I would like them to be. But overall, it's cool book.
All right, check it out. Cool. Let's move on. We're going to talk about World War Hulk's Captain America versus Wolverine, number one, you guys. Now, this was in the stack of books we were talking about whether we should talk about today. And Pete said, well, Wolverine's on the cover, so we should talk about it.
Yeah!
So, Pete, you want to talk about this?
Yeah. First of all, you know, what's more fun than a giant hulked out Captain America fighting a giant hulked out Wolverine, right?
No.
It's just a good fun time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you know what's more fun? If they have an emotional subtext.
Yeah.
Which the story does.
Yeah. Well, I also didn't like that part. come on, let's just see it. You know what I mean? And then plus they had the little thought like, oh man, you know, Wolverine is so big right now, it's so hard to fight him. It's like, no. I don't care. I don't want to hear what you're thinking, hulked out Captain America. You know? Fight a little bit. Let's see if you're going to win this one.
Would you read a book that was just like two disembodied fists that were fighting each other?
That would be awesome.
I sold one.
Especially if one of them had claws and the other had a shield.
Okay, alright. I mean, in that case, it's pretty clearly Wolverine's hand, Captain America.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to put labels on it, but
but what if a third head came in and it had a hammer and you're like, oh shit, it's Thor's head.
Yeah, I mean, if it helps you to label each thing, then yeah.
Do you want, I mean, is that what you want? I'm making this book for you, Pete. So you want it to say Thor on their arm, like a big tattoo that says Thor.
I don't need things spelled out for me.
You just said you did.
I know.
It's based in regular...
It's happening now, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there's been an event.
Be careful if you go outside.
Oh, yeah.
Every comic is real.
I love this.
Over in the Hulk books, there's been a bunch of... there's been an arc running for the past couple of issues called World War Hulks.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was all of the heroes of the world got turned into Hulk versions of themselves. So this is filling in a little bit of the gaps of like what happened to Captain America Hulk and Wolverine Hulk. And also in this issue, what happened to Next Wave Hulks?
Who cares? But Sure. But if it happened, why not have some fun with it? You know? I mean, why not? Have some
rolls.
It's a good time. But what I didn't like, get back to the, just real quickly, with the thought bubbles, is they didn't change the color so you couldn't tell, like, which one was Wolverine thinking, which one's Captain America. Which
it was all Wolverine thinking.
Huh.
All right, I think we're going to move on. Talk about...
That's probably why they changed the colors then.
Probably not. Last thing we're going to talk about, X-Force Sex and Violence number one.
Hello.
You guys all like sex and violence. Pete, you like one half of those.
Yeah.
Which half?
Violence.
I was going to say XVO.
Yep.
The middle half.
Yeah,
not a good one. Let's rewind. Let's take that again.
But yeah, there wasn't any sex in this one. It was all violence, which I enjoyed.
There's a little smooching.
Smooching isn't sexy.
Yeah, thank you.
That's what my wife keeps telling
me. Don't you have a baby?
No, it came from the smooching.
The stork dropped it off, right? I mean, that's how it happens.
Yeah.
And then you had to fight the stork for the baby.
My arm had to fight the stork.
Good.
Did you steal a baby?
No, his arm won.
God,
so.
Stop prying into my life. Whatever. Maybe I did.
But I like this comic because it's dealing with the relationship of Wolverine and Domino. So it's nice that they have their own little side story that's called Sex and Violence.
Yeah. I like this. It's a little unfortunate, I think, because X-Force, the title itself, has been so mired in crossover after crossover that we haven't gotten really good stories from X-Force like we did at the beginning of the run. And I think it's nice to see this back. Nice to see, oh, okay, we're getting a fun, over-the-top, silly, violent story with the members of X-Force. So I'd love to see more of this.
Cool.
Great. Good working with you guys. That's it for the stack.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to the next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Boothman.
Boothman!
Sorry, modern age Boothman.
The Boothman.
Wow, he's so extreme.
Yeah, he's tough and rugged. Yeah, yeah, I like him.
Oh, I'm married. No, I'm not. Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
I figured since he's here, I'd give one question to the original Boothman to read.
He's got a heart!
Wow.
He's got a heart!
It's like a crisis time up type. Say team up. Never mind.
Will Mark Ruffalo bring the right kind of doucheness that Ed Norton would have brought to the Avengers movie?
That's a good question. For those of you who don't know, the Hulk has been recast for the Avengers movie. The rumor is that Mark Ruffalo may or may not be cast as Bruce Banner. He's not going to be cast as the Hulk, dressing up in green, and Mark Ruffalo is like...
Julia!
Did you guys see Julia? He spent that entire movie just wanting to have sex and eat everything. It was crazy.
He wanted to have sex with the food.
Did you really just ask me if I saw Julia?
It was pretty good!
It's all right. Half of it was good. But the other half, Mark Ruffalo just spent, he was like, oh, the entire movie.
He'd be great as the Hulk.
He'd be great as the Hulk.
I don't, when I think of Bruce Banner, I don't think, like, this guy better be douchey, you know? Maybe I'm wrong.
Who do you think of as Bruce Banner, then?
I think he's kind of a nice scientist guy who's smart, and then got shot with a gamma ray, you know what I mean?
The other rumor that I've been hearing recently, and I'm going to completely forget how to pronounce his name, but the guy from District 9, Charlton... Charlton Copley, the lead of that movie, has also been rumored to be Bruce Banner. What would you guys think about that?
He was cool. I like him.
Yeah.
The guy that turns into the alien?
Yeah, he turns into an alien, so he's got that part down. He knows that.
And he actually did that.
He did that.
That's how fast the Hollywood works. Oh, he already turned into something. He'd be perfect.
Cool. Did that answer that question? Make sure you guess that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Who would you have cast as Scott in the room and Ramona in the Scott Pilgrim movie?
Wait, what?
Who would you have cast as Scott and Ramona in the Scott Pilgrim movie? Now, again, for those of you who don't know, it's Michael Cera and Mary Elizabeth Mastriantonio.
No.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Anybody? Is she here?
I like to hang out.
I thought the casting was great in the movie. Absolutely yep. perfect.
Well, if not them, who would you have cast?
Me and you.
Yeah.
I think probably like Mark Ruffalo would have been good for one of them. Wait, do either of them change into anything? No. Do they eat anything in the movie? Like,
oh, Scott Pilgrim eats a lot.
Oh, okay. Then he'd be great as Scott Pilgrim.
I like that kid that was in Zombieland.
Yeah, he's kind of a...
Yeah, Michael Cera like.
Yeah, he's, yeah, yeah. He's kind of
he would have been great in that role. I think he would have done a good job. Mm-hmm. Same person, just wears a mask.
Or Zac Efron would have been good.
Zac Efron would have been good.
Zac Galif would go. No, he was with
me. Zac Morris.
Yeah, now we're talking.
These are all really good choices.
But it is what it is. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to deal with the casting. Yeah. Sorry. When we cast the movie, that's the way it is. You're going to have to live with it.
I tried. Yeah. I tried.
You tried to
catch us out of it. I'm sorry.
But we're like, no, we like that guy from Youth in Revolt. Raise your hand if you asked that. Please feel free to give us some free comments. Let's hear the next question.
That's the movie they slated. Better Super Jew, The Thing, or Kitty Pryde?
Oh, wait, what?
They're both Jewish. So.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Now, is that who's better at being a Jew? Like, who's more observant? Because I think it's probably The Thing because he got bar mitzvahed recently.
But does he wear it young?
No, it doesn't wear it. Not usually. Only on high holy days. Kitty Pryde wears a Jewish star sometimes. What do you guys think?
I'm going to say Magneto.
Whoa! Slam!
That's the answer. I'm not gonna
That's good. Cool. So the answer is Beck Peter. Raise your hand to ask that. Please can bring us some great comics. One more pack.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Let's hear another question.
I want to say this is one of my favorite questions I've ever read.
Oh!
Who is the best girlfriend in comic book history?
Nice.
Wow. I mean, first thing that comes to mind is MJ, but.
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane?
Lois Lane! Who is Kyle Rayner's girlfriend?
Someone he makes on his ring?
The one that gets shoved in the fridge?
Yeah.
Oh. That's how
I like Black
That's
Canary.
I don't remember doing anything great except getting shoved in the fridge.
Which is, of course, a great
thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah. It's a really nice thing for a girlfriend to do.
Hawk Girl was great, too.
Yeah, Hawk Girl. What are their good girlfriends? Who didn't die?
I don't think that was written.
What? Yeah, I mean, probably Lois Lane. Right?
No, I don't know. I'd have to say the Joker's girlfriend. What's her name?
Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
answer. That's a good answer. Yeah. What about Ramona Flowers?
Sure. Kind of a girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, at the battle, history? All these exes, that was kind of lame.
She's pretty high maintenance.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what you characterize as a good girlfriend. For us, being shoved in a refrigerator is a good girlfriend. For other people, you might have other opinions on that. Raise your hand if you've asked that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. Do we have any other questions?
We've got a bunch.
All right, let's do a lightning round.
Lightning round. Before the question, there's a smiley face. Okay. If you had one superpower, three abilities, what would they be and why?
One superpower with three abilities?
That's what.
So it could do one thing that could do three, or why would we need three?
Oh, look at them. Ask them. You want to explain?
So, like, I can create flowers, and I can create three different types of flowers.
Yeah, something like that.
Sure. That's what I'm going to go with.
Three different kinds of flowers and your superpower. Yeah. Your wife will love you.
Before you step her into a fridge.
Yeah. Well, she certainly didn't like me when she was my girlfriend. Pete? What kind of flowers would you like?
I guess I would make three different kinds of desserts.
You can do that right now.
No, I wish I could, but I can't.
Anthony?
I don't know if this is serious or not. So,
you want the shot?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, super breath, because you could kind of, like, if you blow really hard at the ground, you could, like, launch yourself through the air. Or, like, if you blow really hard, you can, like, blow a hole through a wall. Or, there's like a whole bunch of different things you can do with it. Or if you had super speed, you could vibrate really quick, so you could go through walls or like, you know, you could, you know, speed up the molecules underneath you and fly, kind of. I don't know.
I like the idea of being able to launch yourself backwards with your super version. Yeah.
But then you would have to turn around before you landed, and then it would just be like a...
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, but then you couldn't land, though, because you would hurt yourself.
You slow yourself down.
How?
By blowing at the ground.
Oh, lightly. Okay, yeah.
That just happened. That just blew your mind.
Let's get the next question.
If you could own any kind of car, what model make would it be?
Ooh. I think they mean like what year of the Batmobile would you like?
Yeah,
like, you know, Golden Age Batmobile or the newer one, you know.
I don't know. There's a Nissan that I'm really excited about. I'm very excited about. Let's get the next question.
Was Avengers Academy 2 painfully creepy to you guys too?
Ooh.
What's this?
I don't think painfully creepy. I mean, what's painfully creepy? Like, you physically feel pain. Like, you're like, oh, my arm. Oh, well, that's you're having a heart attack. Yeah, I had a heart attack while I was reading it. There's a question.
Which one of the three of you would win in a fight to the death? I guess this concerns Justin.
Yeah, I would win. No question.
All right.
Yep, that's the answer.
Who would win in a fight, Apocalypse or Fing Fan Foom? And then in addition, who would they win said fight against?
Oh, okay. So first Apocalypse and Fing Fan Foom were fighting.
Fing Fan Foom would win.
Right. Because he's bigger.
Yep.
And then Apocalypse would be like, wait, let's team up and fight Billy the Bottle. Together, I'm Apocalypse. You guys. Hey. Oh, man, I'm totally wasted right now.
Are you doing Towley from South Park, though?
Maybe.
All right, that's it for your audience questions.
Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek. Is San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, man.
Which I cannot wait to not go to.
What a time it will be.
Not be. Yeah. Well, what are you guys looking forward to there? I mean, obviously, we're all going to be home. We're all going to be watching it on our live blogs and computer screens. Yeah. Huddled up in the corner with our Thor arms. What are you looking forward to? What are you excited about?
I really want to see the footage from the Goon.
Yeah.
I saw a little teaser for it online. I was just like, oh, it looks so good.
Yeah, you were talking about it a little bit. You were saying that Paul Giamatti is doing the
voice of I don't know if the little character's name. And then the Goon is voiced by Clancy Brown, who did the voice of Lex Luthor.
Right.
And he's in Highlander and stuff, so he has that cool voice. And there's like one scene like that they show where it's like, it's the little dude like standing up on the front of a car.
And you're saying it's like claymation, right?
It looks like claymation, but it's not. It's CGI.
Yeah.
And like you see it like flying through there, super slow mo, little dude up here holding onto a machine gun, just like shooting zombies. And I was like, this is awesome! Like a CGI like cartoon with a dude in a machine gun shooting zombies. I was like, I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen it yet.
When you see it, will you be like, eh? Now I saw it.
I saw it. Yeah.
Eh,
no, but it was only like this, you know, like that big. On the computer, something like that.
Were you watching internet video in 1992?
I'm lazy when I go on there. I don't like to hit the thing to pop it up because then it takes that second. So I'm just like, screw it, I'll watch it at this size.
Did you just make all of this up?
No, this is all real, man.
Yeah, right. I'm looking forward to the Marvel movie panel. I'm really excited about that, where rumor has it that they're going to bring out Joss Whedon, announce him as the director of the movie. They're going to bring out the entire cast, reveal who the Hulk is, possibly bring out Jeremy Renner from The Hurt Locker as Hawkeye, and possibly somebody else as Ant-Man as well.
Everybody's going, what? Said, today.
Who?
Adrian Brody to do that.
Adrian Brody, I've also heard Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever it is, people are obviously very excited and talking about this, and I think it's going to be cool to finally put all the rumors to rest. What are you guys looking forward to?
I'm looking to see what any leftover swag will be there, because last year they gave away that He-Man foam swords.
Really? Oh, you're showing up. You're going to San Diego Comic-Con on Monday, right?
Yeah, I'm going to collect all the stuff and see what's left over. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Kind of clean up. See if I get any buttons or anything left on the
ground. Did you get a job as a janitor?
Yep. I couldn't go to the convention, but they paid me to go and clean up afterwards, so I was like, I'll do it. I'll report live.
Out of your room.
After the fact, and I'll be like, well, there was a lot of bubblegum this year. Kids still like that chewing gum. Back to you, G-Bull.
Another big announcement that actually came out before Comic-Con that obviously we'll probably be talking a lot more about is the Green Lantern costume was revealed. Now, most of us have probably seen it. For those who haven't, Pete, you want to describe it a little bit?
It's like they ripped off his skin, and it's all like this weird kind of... what movie was that in where it was like...
Stoker's Dracula?
Yeah, where it was just like... It looked... It's like horrible. Just bad CGI where it's just like, oh, this is what it looked like if you didn't have skin. But it's I think it's black with a little red light, or it's green with, yeah, it's just weird.
For those of you who don't know, the way that they're doing the costume in the Green Lantern movie is Ryan Reynolds, who's playing Hal Jordan, is wearing a motion capture suit, so the entire suit is created with CGI in a computer. So clearly they've decided that if you're a space cop, the coolest thing to do is not have any skin. That should be interesting. Does that fill you with a little bit of dread for the movie, or don't care?
I mean, there's Green Lantern has never been one of my favorites, so there's part of me that's like, you know. Plus, Ryan Reynolds, dude, you can't.
I thought of him more as the Flash. I thought he would have been a great Flash.
Well, who would have been a good Green Lantern?
You know, there is a fan trailer online that they had Nathan.
Oh yeah,
Flan or whatever his name is playing as, and I don't know. It looks kind of good. Like I was like, all right, or Jim Caviezel, I thought would be kind of cool. Or I don't know. There's just like a whole bunch of different people out there that like you could cast as. You know,
Betty White's hot right now.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's the White Man. That would be
wow.
Betty White, you have great courage in your heart. Yeah, I'd definitely watch that.
I would watch that. I would pay money and sit there and watch it. And just be like, this is awesome for 2 hours.
Yeah, and it would still be better than Jonah Hex. Very sad. Anything else you guys are looking forward to from San Diego Comic-Con? No. For it to be over so you can go back to your life.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just hope that the announcements are going to be fun and that nobody gets hurt. You don't want to see anybody get hurt. You don't want to see one of the stormtroopers lose it. Kevin Smith needs bodyguards. I don't know.
Really? You don't want to see, like, stormtroopers getting into a fight?
Yes. But I don't want someone to get hurt, you know.
Right. But as long as nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Last year at Baltimore, I saw a guy dressed up as, like, best Predator costume I've ever seen, and there was a Space Marine next to him, and they were in line to go into like the costume contest, and they had like these makeshift walls put up, and all of a sudden the Predator guy, I guess his mask was like stuck and he couldn't see where he was stepping, so he tripped over himself and he grabbed hold of the Space Marine and like slammed the Space Marine into the wall, but as the Predator was falling he like went like he sounded like a Predator. And I was like, yes, this is real, this is happening. And I was just like, it was great, man, but, you know, that's all.
And that's it for the week again.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on to our next episode, which is trivia. And
Naomi? Audience Naomi?
Hey, yo.
Hey, now you know what we've been looking at. All right, cool. So this is the possible gift card that you might win. I'm going to put that right here. Okay, so how this works is I read you a question, you listen to all three possible answers, go 3 for 3, gift card yours. Okay? Today's trivia is on Shadowland. So I wrote this trivia many weeks ago when Shadowland first came out, so this will be fun. Yeah, exactly. Okay. What is Shadowland? Is it A, a prison/temple,
B, a dark land with tall buildings, or C, Godzilla's bunghole.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, I'm really excited about this.
A is correct! Who is not going to be a part of Shadow Land? Is it A, the Punisher, B, Bullseye, or C, Claudia Schiffer? Correct! Okay, here we go, last question. It is said that there will be heroes and enemies switching. Is it A, Side, B, Uniforms, or C, Vulture's Crystals? So it's probably the first one, which is A size.
Those were amazing. I'm so glad you hung on to them for so many weeks. I heard you were talking to some people about adapting those questions into a TV show. How's that going?
It's going great. I'm leaving a lot of messages on machines. Nobody's got back to me.
Yeah, answering machines or just machines?
Just I walk up to vending machines or any kind of machine and I yell at it. Give me a TV show.
I'm sorry, Naomi's talking.
I work on television, so.
Oh.
Oh, see you later, guys.
Kissing. Wait, that was not kissing. This is like I love you.
Kissed it.
Kiss it and catch it. All right, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is new comic book day.
Yeah, it is.
Go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Just totally blanked.
There you go. I'll talk.
Yeah, please.
All right,
do.
I'm looking forward to Walking Dead number 75 is coming out tomorrow. Walking Dead has been an amazing run lately.
And they're making it a TV show.
So they are making. That's how good it is. Just it's going to be on the same channel as your questions.
I'm sure.
So that's really exciting. Walking Dead has been amazing. So I'm looking forward to that. There's something else. Oh,
Hellblazer is what I'm looking
Hellblazer.
For.
The other thing that I wanted to mention is Thunderbolts number 146. I had actually not picked up the previous issue.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Well, yeah. Actually, I don't know, because then I picked up the second printing variant by total mistake, thinking it was a new issue, and it was amazing. Jeff Parker knocked it out of the park with the first issue of that of his run, which was 145, so I'm really, really looking forward to tomorrow's issue. Anthony, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to American Vampire. That's been a pretty cool story so far. I really enjoy that. I was actually surprised with Batman Beyond from last month. That was actually kind of good.
It was good.
I was that kind of shocked me.
Yeah.
And then it says Return of Bruce Wayne on there, number one. So, I mean, I want Batman back.
Who doesn't?
I want Batman.
I think that's a reprint, though.
Oh, never mind.
All right, there we go. Anthony, any stuff you want to plug? Any place people should check you out or things?
I will be in Baltimore at the end of August. Support your local artists.
Anywhere in Baltimore?
Yeah, you're just going there to visit.
I like Baltimore Comic Con. Yeah, Baltimore Comic Con, I'll be down there.
You can have a little
have
tape.
Have a little booth.
Nice.
For booth man number one.
Oh!
I'll be hanging out over there, doing some drawings and whatnot. Just check out PS Magazine online if you've never heard of it. It's got some really cool history to it. And then, just keep on reading comics.
Wow.
Keep on keeping on.
Guys, before we go, you can check us out several times a week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Anthony for being here.
Good man.
Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.